I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
Are we recording?
Yeah, you bet we are.
Excellent. Love that. Love that journey for us. Hello, everyone. Happy Memorial Day. Well, listeners, very excited to be here, as you can tell by the tones of our voices. No, really, we're always happy to be here. Woo-hoo. It's always great to be recording the pod.
Despite what we sound like, we actually do like doing this.
It's really great. It's just this. So there, a few weeks ago, we just like procrastinated a little bit. This time, I think it was a combination of like, there was so much soccer happening, like all the way up through yesterday, that it was like, we don't really know what we want to pick. And then Anna was busy yesterday and I was busy yesterday. And so we're trying to figure everything out this morning. And then shout out Anthony, who lost his wallet, but you found it. I love you. Yeah. And I had to shift my whole setup into a different room because there's construction going outside. So sorry if you hear some like very loud sounds. So it was just a bit of a cluster of a morning, at least on the St. Louis side of things. I don't know about for Anna, but we're here. That is great.
We made it, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Yes. Well, let's just dive right in, jump right in, get right into it. Let's not waste any more time. I won't waste any more time. Still wasting time. Okay.
It's okay. So, you can edit it. It's fine.
Ah, yes. The joys of editing. So also, I would like to shout out me because I edited the pod in like record time last time because I actually gave myself deadlines. And wow, weren't you all so happy to have that content? Like, I know you don't care or you didn't notice, but I cared.
So. It was incredible. And then I promptly forgot to do our social media until like 2 days later.
You know what? It's all good. It got out there. We did it.
No, we're doing things. It's fine.
We have lives. Unless one of you, dear listeners, would like to pay us to do this. This is how you say a hobby.
We do this for fun.
Okay. Well, speaking of fun, how fun is it for my number three hat pick that Louisville got their first win as a team? So exciting. Much excite. So we waited for this through the whole Challenge Cup and did not get it. But on May 21st, we got to see Racing Louisville FC get the first win in club history with a 2-0 win over the Washington Spirit. Callback, no spirit fingers happening there. Boom. Good reference, Jillian. So, am I going to mention that the North Carolina Courage ruined Racing Louisville FC in their next game 5-0?
No, it didn't happen.
No. No, I am not. We move on. This win, honestly, was just so good to see. It happened at home, so you can tell it meant everything to the players, the fans, coaches, everybody on the sidelines. So let me give you some highlights that you could easily look up online but are dying to hear me talk about with my color commentary. So the first 30 minutes of this game, Louisville didn't really have like a lot of dangerous chances. I mean, they're playing well, but not anything that was like, you know, really close. But keeper Michelle Batos did come up big a few times against Washington, including against superstar in the making, Trinity Rodman. But that is not why we're here, dear listener. I just like have no idea why you would let me get off track like that. Anyway.
Rude.
So rude. I feel like we've gotten in the habit of like trash talking our listeners who aren't even here. Like,
trash talking our respective parents and spouses.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on with that. I'll Google it.
They know. They know us. They know our humor.
They get
it. It's fine.
You get it. Thank you. Okay, so in the 38th minute, Louisville gets their first very dangerous look. And unfortunately, Spirit keeper Aubrey Bledsoe comes up big for the Spirit in that moment. And so we move on to the second half. The saves continue for Batos. But then some kind of music. In the 76th minute, Savannah McCaskill, who we all know and love at this point, sends a through ball to Amina Ekic. She takes it. It deflects off a player, and Washington like pleads and whines for a handball, but the ref didn't see it and it didn't happen. So they
sucks to suck.
Yeah, it does. No luck for Washington on that one. So Ekic then cuts it like a knife through butter around some defenders, and then sends a left-footed beauty that bends perfectly into the back of the net. This is like an exciting moment anyway. It's their first regular season goal, and it helps lead to their first win. But coming from Amina Ekic is extra special because she is a Louisville native and attended the University of Louisville. So she is like a little hometown hero, and don't we just love to see it? I mean, like, could you ask for like a more like picture-perfect way to start off a win? I mean, really.
Incredible.
So good. So then, not long after that, in the 81st minute, math. Ekic makes a beautiful run up the right side of the pitch and crosses it to a pretty much wide open CeCe Kaiser, which at this point seems like a bad idea because CeCe Kaiser has like really proven herself to be very dangerous.
Honestly.
Kaiser reads it well, sees that Bledsoe is off her line, and just sends it home. 2-0, baby.
Love to see it.
For the remainder of the half, which is not much time, again, math, Michelle Batels comes up even more for Louisville and is able to keep it at a shutout. And the game ends. Wow. I think Louisville put up a great fight and got the W. And, like, both goals had, like, the hometown hero involved. And that's just, like, the fucking cutest shit ever. So.
Oh, that was so cute.
Yeah, that was cute.
I'm just really excited for Louisville. I think it's going to be a good season. They did go from being at the top of the leaderboard to almost at the bottom very quickly.
We will ignore that.
But to get that win, only your second or third, I think it was their second regular season game. It's just pretty dope, and I'm excited for them.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, it was a delight. We strangely like Louisville, despite the fact that Christy Holly. Every time. Took Kristen Press and Tobin Heath and, you know, really didn't talk to them about it, but that's okay.
We'll get over it.
One day we will not be bitter about it.
Correct.
Is that day today? No, but one day we'll get there. Anyway, my number three hat pick is Barcelona just completely stomping on Chelsea. You know what? We got this one wrong. Everyone got this one wrong. Sue us, okay? We get it.
Oh my God. The world got this one wrong.
Absolutely. So things started off, how you say, not great for Chelsea, and then just got progressively worse in the entire game. So 35 seconds into the game. Yes, 35 seconds into the game. Liga Martins takes an incredible shot for Barcelona, and no, that doesn't go in, but it hits the crossbar. Then it goes out wide. Carolina Graham Hansen sends it in, which leads to a bit of a bobbling around with the header. And then it eventually lands on the ground. And Melanie Leupolz, unclear if she was attempting to clear the ball out for Chelsea or if it just happened to be a bad touch and it hit her foot while she was moving her foot. Regardless, the ball is attempted to get out of the way for Chelsea. However, she scores an own goal. Which puts Barcelona up 1-0.
Yikes.
Yeah, which to Leupolz's credit, it was a beautiful goal, just in the wrong net. So, yikes, Chelsea.
Ouch.
Moving on. 12th minute. Barcelona is awarded a penalty. Jenny Hermoso was going to take a shot and the ball was sort of clipped, though maybe not. It was really unclear if she was ever actually touched or if she's just an excellent flopper, you know? The world may never know. Either way, penalty for Barcelona. Alexia Putellas, angel from above and Spanish international, steps up to the spot and buries the shot, no problemo. Anne-Katrine Berger thinks that it's going to go to one side. Alexia Putellas is like, no, screw you. You're completely wrong. Sends it to the other side. You know, picture perfect. You love to see it.
Clinical.
Barcelona's up 2-0 in under 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
Things are not looking good for Chelsea. And yes, they are going to get worse. So in the 20th minute, we get a beautiful setup, which led to a beautiful goal. And the kind of soccer that you expect to see in a Champions League final. Lika Martins, who's involved in pretty much everything at all times because she is that good, brings the ball down the far side of the pitch, sends it inside where Jenny Hermoso gets a touch on it at the top of the 18, but knows that she doesn't have anywhere to go. So she sends a quick ball back to Alexia Putellas, aforementioned angel from above. Putellas quick one touches it back through the 18 where it finds Aitana Bonmati. So Bonmati just happens to see this and makes a good run, makes it through Jess Carter, who tries to like full on tackle the ball away. But no, Bonmati sends the ball back post, putting Barcelona up 3-0.
Wow.
Beautiful. You love to see it. Chelsea doesn't love to see it.
That's correct.
You do love to see good soccer. In the 35th minute, we get another beautiful goal from Barcelona and the last goal of the game. So once again, Lika Martins brings the ball up the far side of the pitch because she's so good at bringing it up from the outside and then sending it in. So she takes it all the way to the end line where and she sends a ball inside to Carolina Graham Hansen. And that ball is not only just like a perfect little pass, but it's also a nutmeg of Millie Bright. Millie Bright stood no chance. She like tried to open her legs to like put her foot in front of the ball, and Lika Martins just held on to the ball like a second longer and just nutmegged her. And Carolina Graham Hansen just one touched it straight into the back of the net.
It was just like the classiest Meg.
The classiest of Megs. And that was the last goal we saw in the entire game. And then, you know, it was halftime. The teams came back from halftime, and it was clear that Chelsea had gotten, like, the pump-up speech. Like, four goals. If they were able to score four goals and a half, you can score four goals and a half kind of a speech. And Barcelona came out and just played keep away from Chelsea the entire second half. They weren't actively trying to score any goals because they were like, we got four. That's great. And if they happened to be in front of the net, they would score. But Barcelona was just like, you want the ball? You come get the ball. And Chelsea did not do it. It was bad. Yeah.
And I think and I heard the announcers kind of talking about this too, but I think one of the places where Chelsea sort of made a mistake, and I'm not trying to put the blame all on one person because it was certainly a team flop effort from Chelsea. Yeah. But I think Neve Charles is her name. She was back right, I think. She's just not an experienced enough player to be playing against the folks that she was matched up against.
Lika Martins.
Yes, correct. Every time Martins would come down the field, I mean, just dancing around Charles. And it was just so hard to watch because, you know, they're trying. I mean, it's like, hello, full grown women trying their best and still getting slaughtered. But it was, you know, I think they just kind of went in a little cocky and they didn't match the right players up against. I think we saw something kind of similar with Kristen Westfall against Megan Rapinoe in the OL Reign versus Portland game, you know, just like not really matching experience levels there. And I think that was part of their downfall.
Yeah. And Chelsea definitely did go into the game thinking that they were going to own that shit. And it's not to completely ignore the Chelsea effort. They did have some great chances in like the first 15 minutes, especially from Pernilla Harder. But once Barcelona started dominating, they didn't know what to do because it didn't fit into their like mental game plan with their arrogance that they came into the game with. They weren't prepared for it. But you know what? A huge congrats to Barcelona, who also went on to win La Primera División this season in Spain, which was, they won like everything this season for them. Champions League, the regular season, like everything. So good for them. They clearly were incredible. Yeah.
And I also shout out to their bright pink uniforms.
Oh, I want one.
That was gorgeous. I loved that. I was like, wow. It's like a statement piece in the middle of a statement game. Like, as if I know anything about fashion. I'm wearing like a tank top and sweatpants right now. To be fair, it is like a mock like U.S. Women's National Team warm-up tank.
Hell yeah.
That Anthony got me. So it's a cool tank, but a tank and sweatpants nonetheless. So I'm just very impressed with their uniforms.
I know. I want one of those jerseys. Now I have like a list of the jerseys that I want, and I'm just like slowly going to cross them off. Because they're expensive.
A rainbow of jerseys.
Yeah. And then we'll wear them all in Australia.
God, I can't wait. It's going to be so great. And everyone's going to have to tell me to calm down with the accent.
No, we're going to let you do it.
I encourage this tomfoolery. All right. Well, moving on to my number two hat pick, which is Mal Pugh's return with her early goal versus Houston and two assists versus Kansas City. Okay, so in theory, Mallory Pugh never left, but she also kind of did, and I'm going to tell you why. So back in like 2016, Pugh was the youngest person since Heather freaking O'Reilly, heyo, to debut for the U.S. Women's National Team at age 17. Wow.
Baby.
And she also scored in that debut. Oh, yeah. For your information, FYI. So, and then she was the youngest person to score in an Olympic game. And she was just like generally on fire there for a few years. But in the last couple of years, she has been less on fire and also plagued with injury. So she played for Gotham FC last year when they were Sky Blue FC and only made one appearance and just generally hasn't been around much. She was called up as a practicing player to some U.S. Women's National Team friendlies in the last year, but we haven't seen the powerhouse that we know that she can be and that she once was. So this is why, with great pleasure, that I announce that I think Mal Pugh is back. So she got traded to the Chicago Red Stars, which I think has been a really good move for her. The Chicago Red Stars have not been doing great this season, but like it looks to me that she is on fire. Emoji. So, you know, particularly during this past week of the regular season. So let's look at this game versus Kansas City. I say look as if we have something to look at. This is an audio-only podcast. In this match, Pugh came on as a sub and then in the second half and then helped lead Chicago to their first and only win of the regular season so far. Wow, mom. So in the 60th...
Wow, we really do need to do video.
Oh, God. Okay, in the 67th minute, there is a bit of a cluster in Chicago's back half, and it gets, like, half cleared out, but Pugh, like, runs back to scoop that shit up, and she finds some space and makes a great run, sort of, like, curves towards the center of the field to find a very open Kalia Watt, who takes a, I just, like, can't even tell you, it's so gorgeous, this amazing shot from the top of the 18 that soars in for a goal. That goal alone could have been a pick. So I wanted to find a way to like include it in there.
Love that.
So not only was this the first goal of the match, it was the first regular season goal. So Chicago was like pretty fucking excited. And the Kansas City crowd was not. All they were just showing these. They were just panning around showing these shots of like people with their hands to their faces. Like it was sad.
I was watching this game on TV and we like... We went back over the recording and we're like just stopped on people's faces because they were just in genuine shock that that goal happened. I laughed a lot of time for it because it was so funny.
I mean, it was like, it was a good goal. Like it was, I can only imagine if I was a Kansas City fan there that I would also have like this dumbfounded look upon my face. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, then in the 70th minute, which is like 3 minutes later, yes. More math for you. Mackenzie Doniak intercepts a ball from Kansas City and gives it to Pugh, who makes a little run and then sends the ball back to Doniak. A little cut, like a knife,
my God.
Through Bada. For a dope-ass give and go, baby. Yes! We love triangles. So Doniak takes a shot for her first, like on her first touch and makes it 2-0. Chicago gets their first win, and Mal Pugh had a boot in both goals.
Before we move on from that goal, also important to note that Mal Pugh didn't start in that game.
Yeah.
And neither did Kalia Watt, for that matter. They right. Both, like, they subbed in. That's why Mal Pugh was so sick. I was also talking about this game while we were watching it, because until Mal Pugh and Kalia Watt came on, every time that the Chicago offense was trying to make it through the Kansas City defense, they would come to the middle. They wouldn't start out wide and come in. And I was like, oh, good. Mal Pugh is coming on because she's the queen of like breaking away down the side of the pitch and sending it into somebody or being the person in the middle to score that goal.
Right.
And that's how they scored those two goals, was from that happening.
Yeah.
Because she's so good at that.
It was really great to see. And that actually is a good segue because she also does this in the goal that she scores against Houston.
So hell yeah.
to this match. Unfortunately, Chicago did not win, but damn, Mal Pugh scored in the first 5 minutes, and it was awesome. So Pugh is just outside the box on the left because she has, like, made her way over there. And she has quite a lot of space, which does not seem like a good idea based on precedent. So she goes 1v1 with a dash defender and then, boom, cuts a round tail like a knife through butter. I will never stop. Like, actually, this goal that she makes reminds me a lot of Kristen Press. Like, she makes a very sharp cut around a defender and then just a beautiful shot low into the right corner. I mean, it was, like, sharp, sharp. It was dope. Reminded me a lot. I think it was of a Kristen Press goal. I mean, Kristen Press shoots like this all the time. But, like, particularly, I think, one of the goals against Brazil in the She Believes Cup. And it was just a lot of skill. It was a great goal. So, again, Chicago does lose this match. But, like, what a statement in the beginning. My guess is that really made Houston turn on, like, step on up. The gas. Uh-huh. And that game could have actually turned out a lot different. So I'm not a mind reader, obviously. Otherwise,
we that would have come in handy.
So I don't know ultimately what this means for Mal Pugh, but I was excited to see a wee bit of a comeback for her. I'm pumped to see what she'll do in future games. And, like, I'm really doubtful that she's going to get an Olympic roster spot if that shit is even happening. And I think she can, but I think if she does continue on this trajectory, that she might get more call-ups than she's been seeing of late. So you go, Mallory Pugh. Hope you're having fun.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens with the Olympics and our roster, because we have so many, well, we're not there yet. We have so many freaking games before that.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Before we get there, my number two hat pick this week is Aaron McLeod's incredible save against North Carolina. So as y'all know, we, how you say, do not give a shit about the North Carolina Courage, except for, like, Dabinia and Sam Uys. So when a keeper does a bomb.com job of preventing them from scoring, you bet your bottom dollar I'm going to talk about it. Also, this is, like, actually voted the save of the week because it is just that good. So there's also that, but also.
And, like, I want to mention too that, like, Aaron McLeod had a lot of amazing saves. So for us to be, like, highlighting one of the saves in that game, like, just tells you just, like, how fucking on fire she was.
Yeah. And this save, I was going through the highlights and then I happened to see that the next video was, like, the save of the week one. And I was like, oh, which one is the save of the week one? Because I have a feeling I know which one, but also, like, which one could it be, quite right. Obviously. So in the 67th minute, Lynn Williams sends just a bullet towards the goal from the far side. So she's, like, on the left side of the pitch. And it, I don't know if she was trying to cross it or trying to score, because really it could have been either. Mm-hmm. So McLeod gets her hands on it, but she isn't able to hold on to it. Like, it, like, passes through her hands. And because of momentum and physics and shit, I don't know, science, the ball ends up, like, behind her. And so Jess McDonald, being the follow-up queen that she is for the North Carolina Courage, is right freaking there to try to capitalize on this mistake and score a goal. But Allie Krieger and her bun, yay, are there to clear it out. But it only clears out to the top of the 18, where Carson Pickett for North Carolina, against her old team, the Orlando Pride, sends another ball into the box, and it ends up directly at the feet of Courtney Peterson. Who is Courtney Peterson, you ask? What a great question. I didn't know. She plays for the Orlando Pride. She starts in almost every game. She's great. I mean, she's clearly doing something for them. And she tries to clear the ball out, but who is still there? Jess McDonald. Jess McDonald is always there. God. So Courtney Peterson tries to clear it out, but Jess McDonald's, like, foot is, like, right there. So it, like, ricochets back. And Aaron McLeod, who finally gets control of the ball, just, like, lays on top of the whole mess because she was not going to let North Carolina score. It was chaotic and stressful because every time the ball went out, the ball came right back in. And Aaron McLeod remained cool, calm, and collective and was just deeply impressive. And even better, Orlando ended up winning that game, which we love to see against North Carolina.
Yay! Absolutely. And I think that this also shows just, like, how, and we'll talk more about this later, but just how dangerous Orlando can be, because Ashlyn Harris is their starting goalie. And Aaron McLeod is also, like, top fucking notch. Plays for Canada, I think.
Yeah, she's like a well-known, world-renowned goalie. She's played on the top teams in like Germany and Sweden and has come back to the United States for a variety of reasons. And is now that Ashlyn Harris and Allie Krieger have their daughter, this gives Ashlyn Harris a break. Not that she necessarily needs one, but it is offered to her. Mm-hmm. So she can stay home with or stay like up in whatever box the kids stay in during the games and like not like you know, like the sports boxes.
I understand. I get it.
It did sound like I just meant that they put her in like a cardboard box. And that's not what happens. Granted, I don't have a child, so I don't know.
I don't know what you do with them.
Not my problem. And so it gives Ashlyn Harris a break because when you have a newborn at home, you're not sleeping a lot. And so it's a nice – and so when you have a top-notch goalie that is your second string, take advantage of it. And they really are. I love it.
It's very dope. Yes. And we're back.
For the coffee and water break.
Yes.
All right.
Awesome. Okay.
Honorable mention.
Woo! The U.S. Women's National Team is back in camp for June friendlies, and this is where I plan on inserting the drum roll because this is the really more exciting thing. Tobin Heath is a practicing player. You heard it here first and probably not here first.
Well, I don't know how much our respective parents actually follow women's soccer, so they probably heard it here first.
It might actually be the first you're hearing about this. Well, I'll pretend that that's the case and be just as excited. I'm already this excited about it, so it doesn't matter. So, adoring listeners, parents, spouses, friends, the U.S. Women's National Team has some friendlies coming up in June. Let me enumerate them for you now. Number one, USA versus Portugal on June 10th. Number two, USA versus Jamaica on June 13th. Number three, USA versus Nigeria on June 16th. This may be some speculation, but my guess is these are some pump-up games that they're really banking on the United States winning overall.
We've also got two more games in July.
And other games for a send-off in July.
July 1st against Mexico and July 5th against Mexico.
Nice. And where are those taking place?
In East Hartford, Connecticut.
Strange. Well, the games that I was talking about in June will all be in Texas, and I don't understand why, because it's June.
Balls hot.
Texas. Yes, that sounds fucking miserable, Anna. You are correct. And two of the games are in Houston, so, like, essentially they will be swamp games. I mean, honestly, Hartford, Connecticut in July sounds way smarter because it's in the Northeast. Like, it still might be hot and a little humid, but, like,
manageable.
It sounds a little bit better. So lots of things going on for you there. I'm sure we'll talk about them more as the time approaches.
Yes.
So we have a roster out, and it's a lot of familiar faces. Notably missing, again, are Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris. Julie Ertz ain't around because she got a MCL injury. And as I found on the internet, an MCL injury is a sprain or tear to the medial collateral ligament. The MCL is a band of tissue on the inside of your knee.
Wow.
So, like, that was actually expected. We did not think that she was going to be a part of this camp. But there are some folks who got the call up that we maybe haven't seen much of or honestly, that we just feel like talking about. So,
yeah. So we've got Adi Franch, who is back on the roster as a keeper, and we love to see it. Yes. So good. Alana Cook and Katarina Mercario are both back. They missed some games earlier in the year because they were playing, I'm not going to say that,
in France.
And the league has some strict COVID rules about when players could leave. And if anybody recently had like tested positive around them, then they couldn't leave at all. Andy Sullivan got the call up. We've mentioned her before, but good to see her at camp, especially after she got the red card in her most recent game.
Oh, shit.
She got two yellows and was thrown the fuck out of there. Kristen Press is here, which we love to see. And she's in the United States. She's back here, which is also great. And finally, Tobin fucking Heath is a practicing player as she recovers from what we thought was an ankle injury, but they listed as a knee injury. So really, who knows? But all that matters is that she's here and she's playing in some capacity, and we love to see it. Also, happy birthday to her. She just turned like 30-something the other day. So that's also nice.
We love to see. I was dancing a little bit just then. So
yeah. And like every sports social media was like, did you know it's Tobin Heath's birthday? Did you know that it's Tobin Heath's birthday? Wait, did you know that it's Tobin Heath's birthday?
Everyone, it's my birthday. So
we know. Anyway, the Olympics are still a wee bit up in the air with, you know, the whole pandemic and COVID-19 situation in Japan, though they seem to be moving forward as planned as of now, and we pray to each and every god that exists above that Tobin is ready for these games.
Yes, I really hope so, because, man, wouldn't that be what a comeback?
Oh my god. I mean, I quite honestly, I don't think she'll be ready in time.
I don't think so either.
But I think she will still go.
Well, yeah, if she can, because...
Right.
Of
the COVID restrictions.
Right.
I think that if she can, she'll still go. And I think that if she is able to go, whether or not she's able to be like with the team at any point, like,
right,
because of the restrictions and the separations and stuff, I think having that kind of veteran player who is potentially watching the games and being able to give some sort of feedback could be really good.
Right. And honestly, I just like, I miss her not running, you know? It's inspiring.
To be that good and not run that much. It's just incredible.
I see her in Lindsey Horan, you know? I see the desire to not run there, and it makes me miss Tobin Heath.
Yeah, because Lindsey Horan is not the same.
No.
Anyway.
Yes, moving on to our number one. So there was, I like cannot describe to you how many potential picks we had this week. So we're back to having, each one of us has a number one. So no shared, not sharing today. Because honestly, there was just too much to talk about. But mine is the Orlando versus Portland game from last week. And I would like to take this time to acknowledge what a gracious and humble person I am to have a pick where the Thorns lose. Wow. In lieu of flowers, I encourage all adoring fans to send me food. Thank you. You may email us at hatpickspod@gmail.com for an appropriate address. So, in a typical year, we probably expect the Portland Thorns to trounce the Orlando Pride. In a year like this, with a stacked Thorn side, we would definitely expect that. But you know what? You know fucking what? Orlando is doing some real good shit. And unfortunately for us Thorns fans, they did some real good shit and won 2-1. So, we will start with Bebe Horse's goal in the 22nd minute. Korniak, who is the very, very tall player. She also has lots of skill and other things to offer, but if you're just wondering who that is and you're looking at something.
She's the tall one.
She's the really tall one.
Yeah.
So Korniak from 25 yards out sends a through ball over the Thorns back line, where Alex Morgan manages to get a through run and not be offside, and one touch volleys with a banger far post goal. And, like, honestly, the Thorns didn't do anything about it. Like, Branch dove for it, but it was just, like, way too wide for her to get it. So, sucks to suck for the Thorns. I'm so sorry for us. But, like, great service, great finish, chef's kiss. It was, like, I think somebody said it was, like, a work of art, because it truly was.
And it is also, like, the most Alex Morgan goal.
Yes, truly. So, then, in the 42nd minute, or sometime around then, generally, Cuica for the Thorns sends in a dope-ass cross from the near side, and Simone Charlie just slams that shit to the ground with her head for a goal. Like, truly nothing Ashlyn Harris could do, and she, like, just sits there looking real sad.
It was on the ground. So, so sad. We were watching this highlight just before the game so that we could, like, make sure that the notes were good, and she just, like, sits in the goal like a dejected little kid who nobody chose to, like, play with them at recess. It was so sad.
Oh, my God. So it's actually kind of lucky that Simone Charlie was playing, because she had a yellow card in the previous game versus O.L. Rain. And so that could have affected her had she gotten another yellow card. But she scored, and it was great. So tied going into the half. Cool, cool, cool. Looks good for us Thorns fans, right? Like, there's a lot of potential there, whole half.
Oh, yeah.
Then in the 46th fucking minute, like literally the announcers joked that folks were still at the concession stand, like the first play after the kickoff at the second half, Sydney LaRue capitalizes on an error from defender Kelly Hubley, who just like half passed it back to AD Franch and half didn't. And Sid the Kid said, look out, dumbass. And jabbed a foot out, and that shit rolled slowly in for like the most painful goal to put Orlando in the lead. Like, it was so sad to watch, but like also watching Sydney LaRue be like jazzed as fuck for this goal was hilarious. She was just like, yes! She was pumped up to the max. It was great. Also hard to watch as a Thorns fan, but bummed they didn't win, but like, wow, from Orlando. There were great goals from both sides. Like, shout out to Simone Charlie for her dope ass goal. But we love a monumental win. Shout out Sydney LaRue and Alex Morgan.
Who are both moms, if you didn't catch that.
Yes, and they both scored, if you didn't catch that. So cool. But all around, a really good game. Very excited to see better from the Thorns, which I think maybe Anna might be able to tell us a little something about, to put a cherry on top.
Yeah. So, you know, Jillian was gracious and acknowledged when other teams beat the Thorns, but I say, fuck that, and I'm going to talk about the Thorns being awesome. Okay? All right. So, I'm going to talk about my number one hat pick is Crystal Dunn scoring her first goal with the Thorns yesterday in their game against Gotham FC. So, other great things happened in this game. We saw some great shit from Sophia Smith, which I will touch on a little bit. Some amazing saves from Kaylin Sheridan. Great to see her healthy again. And all of that is great on its own. But to be quite honest, has been completely eclipsed by the fact that Crystal Dunn has scored her first goal with the Thorns. So before I get to the banger of a goal from Crystal Dunn, I'm going to talk about the incredible chance that happens to look a lot like the goal that she ended up scoring in the 28th minute. So Sophia Smith has the ball in the 18. She didn't really have anyone around her to help in the moment, so she starts to take the ball outside with the intent to eventually service it back in. In doing this, she drew two defenders out with her, which ended up being good, but they kind of started boxing her into the corner, you know, when like players time waste and then they put that whole thing, yes, in the corner. So Sophia Smith sees that she can't go around them, so she just draws back the ball and just pops out from between them and starts heading back towards the goal.
So fucking good.
Wonderful. Dunn is open at the top of the 18 because what did Sophia Smith do? Draw two defenders out with her. So she gives it to Dunn, and after a touch, Dunn slams the ball, which ends up being saved by a great save from Sheridan. But wow, incredible. A great setup, almost goal, so good. Now, onto the actual goal. So
yes,
the first half ended 0-0. We saw nothing. It was scoreless 56 minutes into the game. After receiving a pass out wide from Sinclair, Kling takes a step inside and passes it to Horan, where they do a little give and go. We love triangles. And Kling begins to take off towards the goal inside, which Kling never does. Kling is very much a winger. First of all, she's, yeah, a defender. So they're
attacking one at that, but yes.
Yes, but she doesn't usually go inside. Most of her attacking is from the wings. So she goes inside, and at the top of the 18, she drops a pass back to Crystal Dunn, where Crystal Dunn takes a touch, sets up, and sends a goddamn rocket to the top left 19 to put the Thorns up 1-0. I don't even have words. It was just like so powerful. Like, Sheridan tried her damnedest to get up there, but there was just too much power and the precision of the shot for the ball to get, like, directly in the upper 90. Like,
if Crystal Dunn was a sniper, you'd be dead.
For real.
I mean, it was, and just like an exciting side note, Anthony and I were watching SportsCenter this morning while we worked out, and this was the number two, like, of the 10 best, like, plays from the weekend.
You
and
have to see it.
I was like, fuck yes, NWSL getting coverage. Fuck yes, Crystal Dunn getting coverage. It was She absolutely deserved that. It was so exciting. Just what a goal.
Yeah. So we can talk about how the Thorns lost all we want and be gracious people, but also they won, and we're going to talk about that too.
Hell yes. Mm. So on to our topic for this week. As I was mentioning literally moments ago, there was not a long break in there where we were trying to figure things out.
Sorry, I just like dropped my cup because I started laughing.
So you remember, you know, we're talking about the Thorns winning, how great that is. LOL. What? Laugh out loud. Remember when we said Portland was going to eat the rest of the NWSL? Well, much to our dismays, plural dismays, I don't know.
I genuinely thought you were going to say chagrin because that's the word I would have used, but then I realized, why does anybody else use that word? No, that's
true. You know, chagrin, also a good word to describe this, much to our chagrin / dismays. That is not exactly what's happening right now. So currently, as it stands, with most teams either playing 3 or 4 games, Portland is 3rd in the standings, which isn't terrible out of 10 teams. But like, y'all, we really thought that like everyone was going to cower in the face of the Thorns because of their lineups, plural, because they have so many amazing people. And to be fair, in their first game, they like literally ate Chicago and spat them out with a 5-0 win. So like, it felt like, yes, we're going in this vein. And then they lost 2 games in a row, 1 to OL Reign and 1 that you heard about already versus Orlando, which I talked about. Remember, gracious, humble, yes. And that game versus OL Reign, I think, did not set them up in a good mindset. They lost at home to their, like, biggest rival and off some, like, pretty sloppy mistakes. They played a great game and OL played a great game, but they just, like, fucked up. And, OL, like, all the goals in that game happened in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, because OL capitalized on those mistakes.
Absolutely, they did. But you know who is eating the rest of the NWSL?
Yum, 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 yum!
Orlando! Wow. Like, 1 draw and 3 wins in a row so far. I mean, I love the Thorns, but, like, this is very fucking dope to see. And Anna is wearing an Orlando Pride shirt right now. So.
Yeah, I am.
Shout out.
I was wearing an OL Reign shirt, and then I went for a walk outside this morning. And it's hot here. If you didn't know, it's hot already here. When I walked, it was only like in the 80s, but now it's 91 and it's not even 11 a.m. here.
Ouch.
You know, so remember when it was really cold in St. Louis and Anna told me about how nice it was in Phoenix? Well, we're going through a bit of a cool spell and it's like in the 70s today here. So just tossing that out there for posterity.
Yeah. The 70s are our low.
Wow.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Anyway, the standings this season are much more competitive than I thought they would be based on what we saw in the Challenge Cup. And not that we didn't see great soccer in the Challenge Cup, but this season is super competitive. Even for the teams at the bottom of the table, they're putting up great fights every single game, which is making so much good soccer for us to watch. And then it makes us struggle to choose picks. And then it's the cycle of us not doing our picks until, you know... How dare the NWSL have such good soccer?
How dare you?
But we love to see it, even though it makes us almost more lazy because we use it as an excuse. It's okay. It's fine. Okay, we're going to do like a compliment sandwich here. So like I'm going to throw in the not great thing in the middle of our 2 other great things. So we are once again seeing some subpar refereeing, which is a generous description.
Wait. Seriously.
And truly disappointing. And continuously puts players at risk of injury. And this isn't a new phenomenon in the NWSL or in sports featuring women like at large, but you'd hope that leagues would care enough about their players that this doesn't happen, that we don't continue to allow subpar refereeing be the norm in these leagues. There's so many examples of this that we could pull, but I don't know if you heard a few seconds ago when I said that we're lazy. So we didn't want to pull a bunch, but honestly, you could play back any NWSL game this season and find a handful in each game.
So we've talked about some of them already.
Absolutely. And so we're not going to go into that much more in this pod, maybe in a future one, but it is still happening. And so while we want to acknowledge the wonderful things that are happening, we don't want to leave out the not good aspects and pretend that the NWSL is perfect.
Right.
So moving on to the end of the compliment sandwich. So if you watch games on Paramount Plus or are watching games on CBS Sports, you're able to see some commercials for soccer that is on Paramount Plus that includes the NWSL. Now, most commercials about soccer or any sport don't include the women who also play those sports or the players who play in women's leagues who play those sports. And the only places that do that are like Nike and Adidas and like actual brands. But when it comes to the actual sport, nobody ever includes the women or players in the women's leagues. So seeing commercials that include the NWSL and the super dope moments that you can see in NWSL games is awesome. And like Jillian mentioned in my hat pick, SportsCenter acknowledging the dope ass shit that we're seeing in the NWSL is also awesome.
Yeah.
And in general, sports featuring women are getting more airtime on cable as part of this deal with CBS. Not only are we seeing the NWSL on CBS, but we're seeing like the WNBA on CBS and on ESPN. And if the WNBA is able to get on ESPN with their regular season games, then the likelihood that the NWSL is also going to be able to do that in the near future is pretty high because they're getting great numbers. And so it's really exciting to see the possibility for more viewership. And last night, we were watching the rerun of the Lakers-Suns game. Because hi, Phoenix Suns are in the playoffs. It's an exciting thing in the city because not much good happens here, okay?
You remember the election.
Yeah, which is still happening here in Arizona. Recounts and other bullshit. Anyway, you're watching the game and there was an ad. And I know this isn't for the NWSL, but it sets a precedent. So there are ads for the upcoming WNBA games during the men's game, which is not something that typically happens. We talk about men's games all the time in the games in the WNBA or the NWSL, but we never see it the other way around. So We're making headway in making people aware of the dope ass shit that's happening in sports featuring women while they're watching sports about men. I'm hopeful that we can see more viewership and engagement in sports featuring women because of things like this. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Thank you. And honestly, if we continue to see this level of competitive play in the NWSL from all of these teams, because really, right now, I mean, there are definitely some teams that are doing better than others, but I would say that all the teams are putting up a great fight. I think every team has at least one game, except maybe Kansas City, but I don't remember.
I look up.
I think they actually, I don't remember. All the teams are doing really well, respectively. Like, compared to, I think what I've seen in past seasons, that like Anna said, they are putting up great fights. It is more competitive than we expected. And so I think it's just going to be hard going forward for people to continue to ignore this.
Yeah. Kansas City is the only team that has not won a game.
So, you know, seeing that out of 10 teams, I think there's so much good stuff to come. And so I really hope that this recognition continues to happen.
I would also like to say that out of those 10 teams, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them all have 4 points in the standings table.
Wow.
So 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, and no points for a loss. And Orlando Pride is sitting pretty at the top of the table with 10 points. Below them is the Washington Spirit with 7 points.
What?
We saw that one coming. And as Jillian mentioned, the Portland Thorns are the third with 6 points. And then North Carolina, Gotham, Houston Dash, OL Reign, Chicago Red Stars, and Louisville all have 4 points. So it's not like there's like a very clear top and bottom of the table.
It could shift at any moment.
Things can, yeah, except for Orlando clearly eating the rest of them.
Yum, 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 yum.
So it's fun. It's exciting.
Delicious snack of everyone else.
Each game is just another course in their long, long meal.
And God, Sydney LaRue is at the head of that table. I mean.
Yeah. I hope you can hear me drinking the rest of my coffee in that.
Welcome. Well, I think that's pretty much it. Honestly, I think we have to cap it here because we could go on about so many things. I was like, ooh, should I tuck this into the honorable mention? How are we going to do this? Just for time and for the fact that we have to have 3-ish picks each to make this work with our title. You know, we had to cut it somewhere. But yes. I hope that this kind of excitement is encouraging you to do more than listen to this podcast and tune into some of these games. Because I know most of you, a few of you maybe are watching these games yourselves. So it's really fun. It's super exciting. Hope you're checking it out. And maybe Anna can tell you about some other shit.
Well, I can tell you where you can follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at HatPixPod. Not that I post on any of those regularly, but you can find us there. And you can also send us an email at HatPixPod@gmail.com.
Toit. Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to some more dope-ass games coming up soon. I don't remember when the next games are. And we've got these U.S. Women's National Team friendlies coming up, potentially before the next pod. So I don't even know how we're going to decide when or how we're going to divide these picks up. So I guess on that note, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast.